When you wake me early in the morning, I'll say yes at the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes, oh yes, 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 Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Hi, this is a correction on this podcast. I quoted the date for the first known use of the term conservatism in a political context was by a Frenchman in 1865, but the actual year is 1818. Praise the Lord and good afternoon, family. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. I am here today. I'm excited about what I am about to share on the broadcast today. I'm excited because what I am really focused on during this season is to uncover the lies and the deception of the enemy in the church. There are ways that we have been bamboozled, run amok, and led astray, and it's been done in such a subtle way in this culture that we have not recognized that this has been happening like right underneath our nose. But what I love about the Lord is he will use every circumstance, like this COVID-19 and the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, all of this, he is using it to expose the lies of the enemy so that we can continue to move forward and grow stronger in him, because the gates of hell, I'm telling you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So before I get too far into this, let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I glorify your name. Your name is above every name, Jesus. Amen. And I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for this opportunity in this season to have a voice, to be able to speak. Lord, let me be bold. Let me be courageous. Let me be unafraid, Father, to speak what I hear the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Lord, also let me be diligent about sharing your heart in this moment, because it is your love that undergirds everything. You so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank you, Lord God, that you will keep my thoughts organized. Direct me, Holy Spirit. Be my helper, be my teacher, be my guide during this hour. Amen. And I am careful to give, hallelujah, you all the glory and all the honor, Father. And I pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Okay, so today's message I have entitled, I don't know if to call it a message or what to call it, but it is a word. It is a word for us in this season. It is an opportunity for us to do self-examination. So the title of today's broadcast is, What is Conservatism? Conservatism and Christianity. What is conservatism? Conservatism and Christianity. So, you know, interesting enough, as I'm listening to the different leaders in the body of Christ respond in this time, this word, because I heard the word come up where, I don't want to even use the word religious, but our leaders in the body of Christ say that, you know, I'm conservative, you know. And I was thinking to myself, when they say I'm a conservative, what do they really mean? Now, I know what I hear when I hear conservative, because in the political realm, right? Those who are saying that they are conservatives are the very ones who are, for the most part, promoting the system that we're in, that has, and it has been exposed that it's a racist system. It, those people who say that they are conservatives in their political parties, which is the Republican Party, they're the ones that I see, they're stacking the courts with Republican judges, that they are implementing legislations on the local level that actually keep people from voting, obstructing in the whole freedom to vote process. And we just recently saw it in Georgia's primary and in, I think it was, what was the other state? But it, that's neither here nor there in terms of what state it was. But the process that we saw happen was something that was implemented through the Republican Party. So when I hear the word conservatism, it doesn't sound like it's something that's going to work in favor of me. I'm a black woman. And one thing, being a part of this race of color in this country, I've had to be alert to hear these dog whistles and to know a safe place for me to land. So I had to stay alert. And so when you see these shifts and these moves in the government and in policy and that, you know, I am attuned to the direction that it's going. Is it going to be something that's going to be helpful to me and the people who look like me? Or is it just going to continue to prop up what already exists? And in fact, not just prop it up, but even just try and take it back to how it was before the civil rights, because there's just so many things that have been dismantled under this particular administration. But anyway, enough of that talk. Let's move to this word that the Holy Spirit had me focus on, conservatism, because I was like, when believers say, what is conservatism? Do they even understand what it means? So, because this is something that is birthed out of the world. It's a cultural thing. And I don't know that we realize that it's a cultural thing. It's not pure because it's not a system or a form of consciousness that is derived from the body of Christ. But anyway, so I looked up the definition, conservatism, right? So the first definition says commitment to traditional values. That's one thing, a commitment to traditional values. That's keeping things the same way. The tradition was this, and we want to stick with the tradition. And we know how that works. Sticking to traditional values and ideas. Values and ideas. With opposition, listen to this, with opposition to change or innovation. That's like the opposite of what God is about. God is all about change and innovation. He's about changing us. We have to be transformed into his likeness. And the innovation is being able to think outside the box so that we can meet him where he is. Because he is outside of this system. He is outside of this culture. He is outside of this world that the prince of this world created. Okay, here's the second one. The second definition says, the holding of political views that favor free enterprise, private ownership, and socially conservative ideas. Now think about that. For people who look like me, people of color, we're under a system where it's made very difficult, it's being made very difficult for us to have a free, to take part in free enterprise and private ownership. Things like having access to health care, right? Access to jobs. Certain position in jobs. So it starts to exclude people, which is the opposite of what God does. God does not exclude people. And God is for the downtrodden. He's always been that way. So let's take a little closer look at conservatism here. Because I just wanted to read, just gather up enough without getting too intellectual about it. Because I want these words and this message today to sink down into your spirit, man. I want to get past your intellect and any mental blocks that you may have to get this down into your spirit. But first, I want us to look at the things that we have been participating in, because I just believe that there's just too much of this world that was created by the prince of this world, the prince of the air, Satan. Too much of that world that was created by him is in the church. And sometimes it's hard for us to see it because, you know, we've got our dialogue, we say certain things, you know, we have our services, we're teaching the scriptures, we're knowledgeable about the scriptures, and now in America we've got ethnic diversity within the churches. You know, not all of them, but a lot of them. So that has grown. And so I believe the enemy wants us to believe, because we've got a racially diverse congregation, that those kind of lies aren't lingering in the church, those prejudices, those racist thoughts are not in the church. But my brothers and sisters, my white brothers and sisters, my black brothers and sisters, because, you know, we are both being bamboozled, run amok, and led astray. We all have to wake up. My white brothers and sisters have to face the lies that were sown through their culture, through their upbringing, through the system of this country, and black people have to deal with the lies that were created in response to these unfair systems. There are things that need to be dismantled, because God is greater. God is greater than all of this stuff that we see going on in the world. But we have to know that we're following Jesus, that we're following Christ. And it's not about, I know that I'm following Christ because I'm prosperous and I'm doing well. And because people suffered for Christ. People are suffering for Christ now, and especially in those countries that don't experience the liberties that we have. In fact, in some of those nations where they're actually, where people don't have religious freedoms and so many other freedoms they don't have, even the freedom to vote, they would look at our country and say that it's liberal, because we broke away from the tradition that came, this country broke away from the tradition that was held by its captors, which was the United Kingdom. right? And we came here because of religious freedoms and liberties. Amen. We came here because we were tired of being under a king and a queen. And when I say we, I just say it because, well, I'm black, so I wasn't part of the we because I came over, my people came over in a slave ship. But as the body of Christ, we have to understand that we're connected. And so if my arm is going through something, I'm not going to separate it from my body and say, oh, this doesn't impact me, because whatever my arm is going through, it is impacting the rest of my body. If it's in pain and it's hurting, or it's infected, or whatever it is, it's hurting the rest of the body, because it's all, we're all connected. So that's why I can say we. Even though our experiences are different, I'm going to say we. Because even within a race, your experiences are going to be different. Even within a certain, within a neighborhood, your experiences. We're not going to all have the same exact experiences. There may be some general things that we experience the same, but there are some specific things that we will experience that some of those who are around us have not experienced. Like, for instance, I experienced sexual abuse from a very young age. Now, everybody's not going to have the experience that I had in that particular area, but there are some people who have. But the one thing that we can all experience, and it can all be the same, is the love of God. We can experience God because he is not into partiality. There's no hypocrisy in him. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We just keep continuing to discover more of him, but he has not changed. Okay, let's get back to this whole conservative, because I just really believe this conservatism and this liberalism, all this stuff is being used against us to manipulate us. Conservatism is opposition to rapid change. That's what it is in the world. It's in opposition to rapid changes, and it supports keeping traditions in society. The first known use of this term in political context was in 1886, and it was by a Frenchman. And this term was associated with right-wing politics. Conservatism, as we know it, excuse me, I had to sneeze for a minute. Conservatism as we know it in our culture tends to support our notion of faith. For some reason, we've connected it to our faith. And this is something that has been passed down to a certain segment in the body of Christ. And we don't question it. And we support these political parties based on the fact that we believe that their ideology is conservative ideologies. And even though they are committing sins where they are basically implementing harm against the downtrodden, we're unaware because the system is working in our favor. And I can also, even for black people, since integration, there are those of us that were able to get through certain cracks in the system and was able to thrive, you know, financially and support. Not fully accepted now, but financially doing better, economically doing better. And sometimes we forget that that doesn't mean that you're free. That, you know, because freedom only comes from Christ. So I am not going to spend too much time on more on my definition about conservatism, how it has morphed. I think you should really read and just see how, you know, you really need to trace these things that you believe. Don't just blindly have beliefs passed down to you. You know, your mother was a Republican, or your father was a Republican, or your mother was a Democrat and your father was a Democrat. Your family have always been Democrats. No. And for me, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I look at people. I that is what I do when it comes to voting. And then I get the information, and then I pray and I ask the Lord, because, you know, God can see. He can see beyond what I can see. One thing I'd like to, before I move to this scripture, is that during Jesus' time, there was conservatism among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They did not want things to change. There were certain traditions that were in place, and Jesus came to disrupt those traditions. They were not ready for such progressive ideas. That's how they perceived it. They perceived that Jesus was moving in a progressive way and outside of this box that they had created, this conservatism that they had created for their religion, even though it was working for them, but it wasn't working for most of these people who, the downtrodden, the people who were suffering. This system was not working for them. It was a conservative system. It was all about keeping the laws and going to church and not, you know, not doing certain things on the Sabbath and keeping the laws and doing, you know, all of the stuff. Okay? Keeping the traditions of Moses. The traditions that had been handed down. All the feasts and the festivals and the different hand washings and cleansings and all of those things. And here comes Jesus. They noticed when Jesus and his disciples would sit down and eat and they didn't go through the ceremonial washings, and they were like appalled at that, because it's not part of the tradition. This is my question. Who are we? Who are we? When I ask you who you are you a follower of Christ, or are you a conservative? Are you a Christian conservative? Because as far as I'm concerned, and the way I've seen it enacted, they're two different things: being a conservative Christian and following Christ. Because what I've seen, conservative Christians vote an ungodly man into the office of the presidency. And, you know, you have the right to vote for whoever you want to vote for. But if you say you're following Christ, and then you see this person that you put in this leadership role doing everything that Jesus is saying not to do, and you're making excuses, and you're saying, well, you know, look at this, the economy is good, that this is that, that is that, you know. But morally, there's such a depravity, you know, the lies, and we know that. We know who the father of lies is. We know who the father of lies is. But anyway, let me get to this scripture. Who are we? Who are we? Amen. Holy Spirit, please keep me on task here. Please keep me on task. And let me just take a moment again to say, this message is not to condemn. It's to expose the lies of the enemy. There are times in our lives, in all of us, there are things that are hidden from us that the enemy has secretly planted there. Whatever tactic he used, maybe he used the tactic that, you know, we don't question what the generation before us has done, and we just blindly follow in their pattern and never question, okay, why am I believing this? Why am I is it just something that's passed down? You know, my family has always been Republicans and have always been conservatives, and so I just follow in that. But it restricts us from really seeing Jesus as he is. First Peter. I'm going to go to chapter 2 and I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm starting in verse 1, but the verse that I really want to focus in on is verse 9, but the verses before it is so good, and it basically kind of sets the stage for this verse 9 that I'm going to read the whole thing. Verse 1, and again, this is 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, and I'm reading verses 1 through 9. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Pure spiritual milk. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So those of you who have tasted, who have really tasted, you know that the Lord is good. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Talking about Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones. Now we're being compared as living stones. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, not a conservative, but to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. So there's an honor for us who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Those who do not believe, Jesus becomes a stumbling stone, a rock of offense to them. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Verse 9. But you, now this is the who we are. This is who you are. This is who I am. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so I think we should all vote. I don't think we should commit to a political party. We should vote for them as long as they're doing the right thing. As long as they're not morally corrupt. But our commitment is to Christ and him alone, because political parties change. The Republican Party used to be the party of Lincoln, and most black people were part of the Republican Party, but now they're Democrats, because after the Civil Rights Law was enacted, a lot of those Dixiecrats, which is what they called them, they were from the South, who still believed in the Jim Crow laws, they flooded over to the Republican Party. Now, we noticed the shift and how it impacted our lives. So we shifted to the Democratic Party. We had just gotten our civil liberties. You know, I grew up under Jim Crow. The black and white signs over the water fountains in the bathrooms, the segregated schools. We didn't even have a library. There was only one library in town. It was only for the white people. And so we weren't. Since they didn't build us a library, we didn't have a library other than the library that was in our schools. But I believe that a lot of white people who are not necessarily racist to the point where they want to see things like what happened with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, someone walking into your house that's supposed to be serving and protecting you and guns you down in your own home, mind you. But there are just so many stories. But you didn't notice the shift and the change because it didn't impact you. It didn't impact you. Well, and I won't say this about it didn't impact everybody, because there are white people in these rural towns that are suffering economically. But for those of us who aren't being impacted economically, so we didn't notice the shift. We didn't notice the hatred messages because they weren't really directed toward us. So we were enjoying things as they were, because the system is rigged in favor of you. So you don't notice. And for believers, who we're supposed to be able to discern evil when it's present, we have to be able to discern evil when it is present as believers. We can't be naive. And the people of the world they should not be smarter than us. They can see the shift and the change and what the Republican Party has become. And not to say that the Democratic Party is that great, because this is the world, and this is the world that the prince of this world created, okay? But the thing is for us is that we are to walk by the Spirit. We're a chosen race. We're not black, we're not white, we're a chosen race. The body of Christ, we're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A people for his own possession. To proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's no such thing as a conservative Christian. You just you're a follower of Jesus. You know, sometimes even that word Christian, and you know, it wasn't something that came out of the body of Christ. That was something that the world came up with. Once people started breaking away from the Jewish faith, and after Jesus came and died and bled and rose again, and his followers were given the name of Christians, Christ-like ones, Christians. But that name has been so tarnished. I prefer just saying I'm a follower of Jesus, because that word Christian has been tarnished by so much. So much that is that's unchristlike. Just unchristlike. But we have to acknowledge it to heal from it. We have to bring it into the light. Nothing that stays in the dark gets healed. It has to be brought to the light. It has to be. The light of God has to shine on it. So this is a time that the works of the devil is being exposed. You have to choose whether you're going to participate and exposing this. This whole liberalism is about people who are in a mindset or a consciousness where they're more progressive and they move away from tradition. But for us, we're in a pure state of liberty, because our liberty isn't based on any of the systems of the world. It's not based on their definitions of what freedom is. It is based on what we have in Christ as his beloved. True freedom. True freedom. And as we grow in the knowledge of him, and as the Holy Spirit begins to expose those things in our lives, those some cases they could be strongholds, but whatever they are that's not of him, whatever's in us that's not of him, he exposes it. And we have to be willing to look at it and let it go. Give it to him. And let him give us something much more marvelous and wonderful in exchange. So I'm going to just stop right here where I am. And I don't know how long the Holy Spirit's going to have me moving in this. But I am dead set or live set, whatever, to expose the work of the devil in the church, in the midst of us. He's subtle, so sometimes we miss it, but I am in the job of shining the light on it Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to the body. That you have already proclaimed that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. We are the church of the living God. Father, I just thank you right now for this time. I thank you that you're moving upon the hearts of your children right now. I thank you that they are bolder and more courageous in this season than they've ever been in their lives. Father, that they're not afraid to confront. They're not afraid to expose. They're not afraid to stand up for the downtrodden, for those that are hurting, for the wounded, for the left behind. That's who you came for, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. We are ambassadors, your ambassadors in the earth. We are representing you. And you are not a conservative and you're not a liberal. So I thank you, healing us. We just repent of some of the things that we hold on to that have nothing to do with you. That have nothing to do with why we are even birthed into the earth. Have nothing to do with why we're saved. But I thank you that you're doing a healing work among us. You're making our hearts tender. And I praise you for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Tomorrow night, Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray Rose, Pastor Ray Rose, hallelujah, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I believe this is the coming up, it's the second Saturday. Yes, it is. It's the second Saturday of the month, and that will be Bold and Beautiful, our youth and young adult broadcast that comes every second Saturday. So this Saturday, the 13th at 10 a.m., and they're going to be actually coming at you live. So I'm excited about what they're going to be talking about in this particular time. Amen. Because the Lord is really speaking to us, and he loves us. He's speaking to us in love, perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And Jesus was punished in our stead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. So thank you so much for spending this time with me. And I just pray that you know, the eyes of your heart, your understanding is enlightened, and that you will just grow in leaps and bounds in this season, that your light will shine brighter. As dark as it is, your light will be so bright in this season, and that you will touch many people with the spoken word and the unspoken word. Amen. God bless you.
I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. I'll say Lord, I'll say. forsake me, I'll say yes. If I go by myself, I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to Yes, Lord.